Me? Whoa, there I am. Can you hear me now? Can you see me now? Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. As you know, we are streaming our service this morning, and we're just so thankful that you have joined us. I want to thank you for joining us as we wrap up our series called Thrive. We ended the year 2020 with the year of good riddance. Looking at Paul's words to the Corinthians, another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. And looking at those words, we took time to look back at a most unusual year, a year filled with many unexpected challenges and roadblocks. As his church worldwide, as his church at MCC, and as his church individually, you and I have faced such difficult times. And with a heavy heart, and yet to speak the truth in love and to preach the word in season and out of season, I said, I don't think we passed the test. I don't think we were as obedient in everything as we should have been or could have been. And I think Satan did, in fact, outwit us a lot in 2020, leaving the church in the hands of an angry God. But we ended that message on a positive note, saying, nonetheless. By the way, that's a great word search for you to do in your Bible. All the times the Bible says, nonetheless. These things have been happening. Nonetheless, there's hope to follow. Nonetheless, we said we had the opportunity for a happy ending. We could continue to thrive at the end of 2020 and into 2021 if we would repent. Pastor Jeff spoke to that last weekend. And if we would forgive as we have been forgiving. Now, recognizing that opportunity, I believe many have been willing to do that. I've heard from several through emails and even a couple of phone calls who said they needed that message because indeed they had come to an end of a year that they were ready to say good riddance to, but a year that challenged their faith to where they were almost saying good riddance. Many are indeed ready to repent, to forgive one another, and together thrive going forward. Understand our only other option is to continue down the doom and gloom path of 2020 and stay in the rut we're living in. But understand this, a rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out. Life is full of trouble. Job said, mortals born of woman are few of days and full of trouble. Or as the message says, we are all adrift in the same boat, too few days, too many troubles. Now, I would add, troubles come from everywhere and almost from everyone. I was once trying to get a sermon together about Balaam's donkey. I don't know if you remember that story in the Old Testament, but it's a good story. A lot of good lessons there. And I was trying to get a message together on Balaam's donkey. And while I was working on it, I got kind of hung up on a word or what you would say or do. And so I asked Barbie, I said, Barbie, if I saw a man beating a donkey and I stopped him, what virtue would I be showing? And without hesitating, Barbie said, brotherly love. That's just not right. Life is full of trouble. But the world today is full of problems. Hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, earthquakes, tsunamis abound. Romans 8:22 tells us, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And it has been ever since the devil deceived Eve. Fears, wars, pestilence, sickness, disease, and death. And the Bible says these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Paul wrote about some of his troubles in 2 Corinthians. Prison, flogged, exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received 39 lashes. He was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, and lost at sea. He faced dangers from the rivers, from bandits, from friends and foes, as well as dangers in the city, dangers in the country, and at sea. He knew what it was like, he said, to be hungry and thirsty, to be cold and naked, and he often went without sleep. We want to make 2021 the year of the servant and thrive. So perhaps today's message is just what we all need as we begin. This message, times of refreshing. We're ready to follow the example of Paul, I think, who said, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I'm not all I ought to be. Are you? I hope this isn't as good as I'm going to get. I hope the Lord is not finished with me yet. But one thing, Paul said, I do. Forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me in Christ Jesus. May I suggest before we jump right in there in 2021 and go crazy, we take a moment to catch our breath. Before we get our second wind and press on, maybe we need an old-fashioned Coca-Cola moment, you know, a pause to refresh. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3, and we'll look together at verses 19 and 20. Luke picks up in his record here where Pastor Jeff left off last weekend at repentance. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Messiah, I want to think about that in just a moment, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. The Message translation kind of clears that up a little bit for us. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins, pour out showers of blessings to refresh you, and send you the Messiah he prepared for you, namely Jesus. Here's a question for you. What is the most refreshing thing you can think of? One man recently said, today I finally went out for a movie. Going to the living room from my bedroom felt so refreshing. Or how about the man whose wife was turning 40? When he asked her what she would like for her 40th birthday, she said, I'd love to be 6 again. So on the morning of her birthday, he got her up bright and early, and off they went to a local theme park. What a day! He put her on every ride in the park, the death slide, the screaming loop, the wall of fear, everything there was to ride. Wow! 5 hours later, she stumbled out of the theme park. Her head was spinning. Her stomach was upside down. So then it was off to McDonald's, where her husband ordered her a Happy Meal with extra fries and a refreshing chocolate shake. And then it was off to the latest Disney movie. What a fabulous 40th birthday. Finally, she wobbled home with her husband and collapsed into bed. He leaned over and lovingly asked, well, sweetheart, what was it like to be 6 again? She opened one eye and said to him, you idiot, I meant my dress size. Now, the moral of that story is simple. When a woman speaks, and a man is actually listening, he will still get it wrong. For some, refreshing is an ice cold Coke. or a nice tall glass of iced tea. And for others, there's nothing like a cool, refreshing drink of water to invigorate you. In fact, water is refreshing in more ways than one. You can drink it, you can soak in it, you can swim in it, you can bathe in it. And who doesn't feel refreshed after a good hot shower or a good soaking in a hot bubble bath? For you, it may be a vacation, a chance to finally just get away from work, from everyday routines, from traffic, the phone, and just relax. A cruise, a resort, visiting family and friends out of state, camping and hiking, skiing in the mountains. Other things in life are refreshing as well. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned belly laugh to keep you going. How many of you have been with old friends, probably in the absence of each other for a while, and you got together and you talked and you were just laughing and carrying on, going crazy, and then someone said, "Whew, I needed that." Go, belly laugh just makes you feel good. Singing can refresh you. For some, relaxing is actually activities and hobbies. Fishing, golf, woodworking, gardening, or just reading a book. Well, of all the refreshing experiences we can find, nothing can compare to the renewal of our mind and our spirit that can only be found in the presence of God. Rest is holy. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He appointed a year of rest for the land, and even he was refreshed. Explaining the fifth commandment, God said, "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. God is bringing renewal, restoration, refreshing, and a new beginning to a broken creation. He will restore and refresh his creation. He will restore and refresh Israel. He will restore and refresh his church. And he will restore and refresh you and me. But first, the church, you and I, need to do three things, and they're easy to remember. They all begin with the letter R. We need to repent of our sins, return to the Lord, and remain faithful to the end. Remember our key verses, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out or wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Repentance is a call to action. It's a call to do something, to change the way you're living. Let the repentance you proclaim be evidenced by the life you live. But in addition to turning away from sin, we must also turn toward our Heavenly Father. Repent, then, and turn to God. It's impossible to turn towards sin and towards God at the same time. So repent, change, turn away from sin, and turn to God. It is returning to God that brings true refreshing. Where there is sin in our lives, we don't want to face God. We don't want to be in church or talk about spiritual things with other people because we know all is not right between us and the Lord. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, we try to hide from God because we don't want to face God knowing we've been disobedient, and we don't want to face the consequences of our actions. However, may I remind you, God always knows what's up. When God called out in the garden, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" Do you think God didn't know where he was? The longer we refuse to turn to God, the longer we will wallow in a sense of guilt and failure. We were created to have fellowship with God, talking to Him and listening to Him. I think one of the most beautiful verses in the beginning of all creation was when Adam and Eve and God walked in the cool of the evening in the garden. Can you imagine? We're refreshed in such times. When we are in fellowship with the Lord, all is well with our soul, because we are doing what we were created to do, live in harmony with God. Ironically, when we're out of step with God, that's what we neglect first: prayer and Bible study. And that's how we talk to God in prayer and listen to Him through His Word. The most refreshing news of all, however, is that Peter goes on to tell the crowd, Luke is recording Peter's sermon here, and Peter goes on to tell the crowd that if they will repent and return to God, then He, God, will send the Messiah to them. And our good news is not only did God send Jesus into the world as He had told through the prophets, He's coming again to receive us unto Himself. And that leads us to that third and final word, remain. You see, at this point in history when Peter is preaching, Jesus had already come and lived and gone. He had died and rose again. And yet Peter tells them, in addition to the times of refreshing that Jesus brings in the here and now, Jesus is going to come back again to restore things the way they were supposed to be. Jesus is not just a good teacher who lived 2,000 years ago and taught us some pretty cool things and truths about life. He's the living Lord of all who one day will return to reign. For 2,000 years now, people have been denying the second coming. The Apostle Peter describes such people when he says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last day scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming He promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.'" People may mock and poke fun at us silly Christians who believe Jesus is coming again, but let me remind you, the world also mocked and poked fun at Noah when he told them a flood was coming. They laughed until the rains came. And in the same way, people won't be laughing when the clouds part, the trumpet sounds, the archangel shouts, and Jesus comes in all His glory. But besides that future implication, there is also a present implication. Verse 19 speaks of times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. In the Greek, that phrase, presence of the Lord, is literally in the face of the Lord. As one commentator put it, all joy is pure from the face of the Lord when He regards us with a look of mercy. I don't know about you, but I often think when I meet Jesus face to face, I'm just going to see a look of pity. I've often said to folks around me in a joking way, "You pitiful, you pitiful." But in a much more realistic way, I can almost picture God looking at me and saying, "Johnson, you pitiful. You pitiful." But He won't. It will be a look of mercy, not of pity. A look of forgiveness and grace. A look of love. If we want to experience refreshing, we not only need to repent and return, but we also need to remain as well. We need to remain in Christ, in step with Christ. Jesus said, "Remain in Me as I also remain in you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you remain in Me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. I read about a young girl recently who wanted to buy a pretty plastic pearl necklace. She had seen it at the store and she loved it so much. So she saved her money from her allowance and other things for weeks and weeks. And finally, she had enough money to buy the necklace. So her father took her to the store and she bought the necklace of her dreams with her own money. She was so excited. She brought it home and paraded around in it proudly. That night when her father came in to kiss her goodnight, he asked her, "Becky, can I have your necklace?" And little Becky looked at him with a frown and said, "No, Daddy, it's my necklace. I paid for it. I bought it." He just smiled and kissed her and said, "I love you, sweetie. Good night." But that routine went on for a few nights until one night, kind of sobbing with big little girl alligator tears, before her dad could even ask the question, Becky handed the necklace to him and said, "Daddy, you can have it if you really want it." Her father smiled, knelt down beside her, and pulled her close for a great big daddy hug. And then he took her necklace and slipped it into his pocket. Almost broke her heart. But as he did, his hand came out with a thin black box with a velvet cover. He opened it and held it out to her. And her eyes got as big as saucers as she saw a string of real pearls. You can imagine. "Oh, Daddy," she said, "thank you, thank you. If I had known, I would have given you my necklace the first time you asked." So what's the point of that story? Well, little Becky had a choice. She could keep her cheap plastic pearls. She earned them. She worked for them. It was her money. But that was all she could afford, no matter what she did. Cheap plastic pearls. Or she could trust her father, who wanted to give her the real thing. What about you? Are you willing to let go of what seems so important to you? If you will, I can assure you God has something 1,000 times more wonderful than what you will be giving up. Let go of your plastic pearls and trust Him to give you something far more valuable. No matter what you can gain or get from this life, nothing will come close to His gift of eternal life. As Luke said, or recorded from Peter, "Repent and turn to God that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." But you've got to let go and turn to God. Let Him give you His refreshing times. Now, before we close, I'm going to rush real quick. Before we close, let me share something else refreshing. It's something more important now than at any other time so far in my life. We can find, and we need, oh so badly, to find refreshing from one another. When reading Paul's letter to Philemon this week, it's only one chapter. But when reading Paul's letter to Philemon, I saw a theme I hadn't really noticed before. I guess it was working on this message that kind of made me look at it with different eyes. But this letter gives wonderful instructions on how to refresh each other. Philemon was a refreshing person. When Paul thought about Philemon, he says in verse 7, he thought about the joy and comfort he had given to him, Paul, and to others. "Your love," he says in verse 7, "your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." And that's what I think Jesus wants all of us to do. Refresh each other. In this letter to Philemon, Paul tells us several ways we can do that. First is to love and trust Jesus. He said in verse 5, I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. It wasn't a secret. Paul heard about it. Our profound love for and trust in Jesus will refresh our brothers and sisters the most. In these unprecedented times, many need to see a genuine, real love and deep trust in Jesus, in you. How refreshing that would be to those who are confused and fearful and who want to trust Jesus, but are so consumed with so many unknowns ahead in this new year. The psalmist said, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Peter said, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's make 2021 a year we all love and trust the Lord in a way that everyone around us can see the difference. And while loving the Lord and trusting Him is obvious, we also need to love one another. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? Your neighbor is yourself. So yes, we need to love and trust Jesus. What a great refreshment that would be for some folks around us to see. But then we need to love one another. Verse 5 said, I hear about your love for all his holy people. Talk is cheap. Deeds usually aren't. John says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Someone once said, your actions are so loud, I can't hear your words. A third way we can refresh one another, and I had never really thought of it this way before, free your time, your schedule, your life. Free yourself and your family to serve the kingdom. Paul wrote this letter to let Philemon know that his runaway slave, Onesimus, was now a brother in Christ. And that Philemon should extend to him the grace of Christ. But not only that, Paul also made it clear that Onesimus was of great help to Paul's ministry and that Philemon should not think primarily of his own rights or needs, but of the kingdom needs. In verse 13, Paul writes, I would have liked to keep him with me. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. I remember while serving a church in Texas, one of our custodians came in and found me moving a file cabinet, and he read me the Riot Act. I've shared this with people before. I told him, hey, I can move a file cabinet. And he said, I'll never forget it, yes, but I can't preach. I thought he was afraid I was doing his job or he might lose his job or that he wasn't needed, when in reality he was just wanting to do what he could do to free me to do what I can do. Now there's a danger here putting this principle into practice. Making time for you and your family to use your giftedness, refreshing the saints, may involve some personal cost and inconvenience. Yes, teaching will require some time to study and prepare. Distributing bread will take some precious Friday or Saturday time. Serving in the nursery, making mats for the homeless. Accepting a leadership role will require time and responsibility. So the question is, will you free your schedule? Will you free your husband or your wife or your children to serve others? Stephanie shared an email recently. In part, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in part, here's what it read. Today, Miranda, director of Champaign-Urbana Home, CU Home, Miranda informed me the 39 mats we delivered have flown off the shelf, and she asked if we could continuously provide them a supply for an extended period. Those don't just appear on the shelf out there. She would like 40 more as soon as possible. They've depleted their supply. She said the mats are more popular than hand warmers, stocking caps, and gloves right now. Can you imagine? The excitement, enthusiasm, and appreciation Miranda had in her voice overwhelmed me to tears afterwards. I am so grateful. God said, keep going, even when things were tough. So, as Brother Mike announced this morning, I'd like to keep the Matters Ministry back into, get the Matters Ministry back into operation. I'll be asking for help. I'll be asking for help with communication. I intend to find others outside our church that can help crochet. We need more crocheters to meet the demand. Yeah, listen, to continue plarning mats, a new word for me, by the way, to continue plarning mats will mean a lot of time and labor, but it will also open doors for others to help with this much-needed ministry. I appreciate the many who already have and who will continue to use their giftedness to meet such a great need. But will you free up some of your time, or perhaps free up your husband or wife's or children's time to serve the kingdom that way? May I remind you of Jesus' words when he once said of himself, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I'm thinking Jesus would have loved to have had a mat to lay his head on. So as you continue in the Matters Ministry, as you continue to save plastic bags or to cut them into strips or roll them into balls of plarn, or as you crochet another mat, think about Jesus laying his head on it. And remember, he said, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. One last thought. Make your home an embassy. Verse 22, Paul wrote, and one thing more, prepare a guest room for me. I never thought of it before, but listen carefully. As Christians, our homes are not our castles. They are His embassies. God has given them to us to refresh the saints and to help unbelievers. Let's make our homes oasis places. A family in one of our small groups shared this concern. I have her permission to share this. She shared this concern in our Facebook thing, Friends in Need, she titled it. Evening, friends. We have friends in need, and I'm hoping you can all help keep an eye out. Last Saturday evening, our friends lost their shed workshop in an explosion, and their home was affected and is not currently livable. They and their two dogs are staying with us now. And while we love having them, they are looking for a rental while they work to rebuild. Ideally, they'd like to stay in or very close to Fisher, and it must be pet friendly. Please let me know if you know of anything. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Miss you. Open their doors. to friends. Oh, the precious, priceless ministry of refreshment, and how desperately needed it is. All around us are weary brothers and sisters struggling to get by and to make sense of a world gone mad. One of the greatest needs of our Christian family is encouragement. Let's face it. This last year, we have not been the encouragement to one another we should have been. In fact, this last year, we have argued more, caused more divisions among ourselves, have unfriended those that we have loved for years in times when we need each other the most. So, here's our takeaway. Let's make 2021 the year of the servant and make it our aim in 2021 to refresh those around us every day. For those who still get to go to work, those around you there, be a refreshing moment of good breath of fresh air. To those who are working at home and have clients online, however it is you're doing, or if you're just at home with your family, be a refreshing breath of fresh air. Take a look at that list again we gave and choose maybe one practical way that you can be a breath of fresh air to others. But let me kick the ball back to the first. Perhaps you need to start at the beginning. Perhaps you need to repent. Perhaps you need to change your direction and turn toward God and remain there no matter what. Repent and turn to God. Father God, this morning, I thank you that your word is still so current, that it is still so relevant, that it is still speaking to our time, to our confusion, to our fears. And what it is saying is, trust me, love me, in such a way that by this one thing also, by loving one another, the world will know we are your disciples. We won't let any scheme of the devil overcome your church. We won't let the schemes of the devil overcome us if we keep our eyes focused on you, if we continue to seek ways to be your hands, your feet, your voice, and your outstretched arms welcoming and loving all those around us, as long as we keep refreshing one another. Thank you, Father, for what you have done for us. Help us to do the same for others. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning,